Whether you're eyeing a Roman ruin or exploring an abandoned house, it's easy to be enchanted with the past. In England, the urge to turn back time is more than an occasional wish. It's an obsession. Mick Aston is the co-creator of the hit TV show Time Team. It's an archaeology show, where Aston and a crew of archaeologists and scientists give themselves 3 days to visit a site and see what they can dig up. Sometimes it's a Roman ruin or a medieval castle. But Time Team isn't about a bunch of stuffy academics. It's about the thrill of discovery and the lure of the past. Here's a taste.
I'm standing on top of the Mott and Bailey of Plimpton Castle in Devon. You know Motts and Baileys from your school days. They're those great towering lumps that the Normans threw up all over the country. And these walls are all that are left of the original castle that was built here over 700 years ago. Now, in towns and villages, normally the medieval stuff disappears. It gets built over and we lose it. But here in Plimpton, the local people believe there's enough of it left down there for us to be able to work out the layout and the boundary of the medieval town that existed at the same time as that castle. And we've got just 3 days to find it.
That's Tony Robinson, host of Time Team, setting up the next 3 days' work for Mick Aston and his crew. Aston told me that archaeology's been hot in the UK for years. It's only natural to believe when a simple walk in your garden can turn up extraordinary stuff.
I was walking around my garden the other day and I found a piece of Roman pottery in the garden, which, you know, I've never found anything like that in the garden before. So lots of people have got stuff in their garden that they're not aware of because there was a site underneath. And it is a very nice thing to do, to be able to say to them, look, you know, as a result of our work, you have this, that or the other. Yeah. I mean, one programme you've probably seen is Cirencester, which is a little Cotswold town, actually in the Cotswolds, beautiful little place. And we dug in somebody's garden and they had a Roman mosaic at the bottom of the garden.
And to be able to take people out to look at the Roman mosaic in your garden is something that anybody would be proud of.
Well, that's right. And they don't seem to mind, really, that you trash their garden in the process, you know.
We should talk about some of the specific digs that you've done. There's one, for instance, when you excavated a 13th century leper cemetery.
Well, we've done two leper hospitals, actually, with the cemeteries next to them. And the one you've probably seen is Launceston in Cornwall, I would think.
Yes.
Because that was in the earlier series. That's a very typical example of what happens. I think somebody was digging a trench to put a pipe in it and came across a burial. And we were approached to see really what this burial was. And we knew from the medieval documents that there was actually a leper hospital there. People often don't realise that leprosy, which we tend to think of as a sort of third world or tropical disease today, was actually very sort of bad in early medieval Europe. It was one of the main problems. There were groups of lepers about. And so special hospitals were set up for them where they could live and look after each other. And, of course, the burials are very distinctive because the leprosy affects the bone and you lose the ends of fingers and toes and you lose the front of the face and so on. So it's not difficult to recognise the burials in the ground. But, of course, there were a number of other things that this particular cemetery could be. There had, as we found out from the documents, been a 17th century civil war skirmish in that area. So they could have buried, you know, people as a result of that. And also it was right on the edge of the parish and indeed right on the county boundary between Devon and Cornwall. And we know that people who were hung, for example, and people who'd committed suicide were buried on borders like that in earlier times. So there are a number of different explanations for what this burial might have been. And one of the things we were asked was to find out which was the most likely explanation.
Yeah. Just to back up for a moment, you said that suicides and people who had been hung were buried on borders. Was that to get them as far away from you as possible?
Yes, and of course, as far away from the living as possible, but also if they were going to walk, you know, like ghosts and so on, they might well go into the next parish rather than yours, you see. So you put them right on the edge. And it's very common. It occurs a lot, you know, all around the country.
Do you ever find more recent burials that you wish you hadn't found?
Not really, because, I mean, unless it's very exceptional, you would expect them to be either in a graveyard or a public cemetery.
And there you don't dig.
Not very often. Very, very occasionally people do. I mean, what is more common, and we don't do this on the programme, but what is more common is if somebody, you know, there's a murder victim or something like that. The one thing that we have done that's recent, and is actually very relevant to you people over there, is we've dug a couple of Second World War aeroplanes up. And one of them was a B-17 American Flying Fortress bomber that had crashed into the east of England. And that was a very poignant thing because we did find things like boots and gloves and various personal effects that really brought it to home that this was a, you know, a fairly recent event.
Yeah.
And some of the people who knew the crew were interviewed rather in the way we're doing it now because they knew the people and they were still alive in America.
Yeah.
And I found that a bit too close to the mark, really.
Are there some that you have found especially thrilling?
One of them, I mean, the one that always comes to mind, really, is we found a burial in a little village in Lincolnshire over in the eastern side of England with a very old man in it. He must have been well on in his 80s. And he'd obviously had an interesting life. He had broken legs that had mended and broken arms that had mended. And he'd probably lived in the 4th century AD. So he lived in late Roman Britain. And he almost certainly started his life off as a pagan. And there was a Roman temple in this village dedicated to the god Viridius. And during his lifetime, this temple would have been pulled down and broken up as the country became Christian. And indeed, he was buried in an east-west grave as if he was a Christian. But the people who had buried him had put a Roman inscribed stone from the temple which said Deo Viridius right next to his head.
Covering their bets.
Well, it seemed to me that what they might have done, they might have known that this old boy really was a pagan, although he was being buried as a Christian. So when they buried him, they put this inscription in with him, you know. It's a nice story anyway.
There was another episode that I'd like to hear you talk about in Waddon, Dorset. You discovered what may have been
hinge. Waddon, yes. Yes, I'm not sure about that, you know. I was looking at that the other day. We went there because there were a couple of sort of bungalows, or one-story buildings, and in one of them was a very crippled, disabled lady, and the other one was a chap who was a single sort of bachelor chap, but he went and did her shopping for and all that sort of thing. And they had their sewerage system changed, and in the garden there was a mass of Iron Age pottery, that is the 500 or so years BC before the Romans get to Britain. And we went there to investigate that for them. But we looked at the fields around, and the fields around had all sorts of what we call earthworks, you know, sort of platforms and bumps and lumps and things, which belonged to a medieval settlement there. And then this very strange sort of set of earthworks at the end of the field. And we put a trench in with a big machine. We often use a big machine just to get a quick slice across a site. And we found this deep ditch with a bank outside it. And some very grotty pottery, which is the sort of thing you get in the prehistoric period. And our sort of first conclusion was that this is the sort of pottery that you get in the Neolithic and the Bronze Age, and therefore the type of site might be a henge monument. That is something like, you know, either Stonehenge or Avebury or one of the other big ritual centres. The problem is it didn't look quite like the right sort of area for it, if you see what I mean. And they do occur in very specific locations, and this didn't look like one of them.
In these digs that you've done, you have had your hands on things that are thousands of years old. Does it change your sense, your conception of time?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, I think archaeologists have they're very aware of long periods of time, and they're very aware of the passage of time, and they're very aware of our place in it, you know. You do end up seeing things on a longer scale. I mean, it sometimes amuses me when somebody on the television or the radio will say, as long ago as 1996, you know. Well, 1996 wasn't a long time ago. You know, 996 was a long time ago, and 2006 BC was a long time ago. But 1996 isn't a long time ago at all. And so you do develop that sense of time a lot.
Does it change, then, the way you live in the present?
Yes, because, I mean, most archaeologists are, I suppose, what you call left-wing, really. They're socialistic with a little S, perhaps. They're very green, most of them. They're very aware of our relationship with the environment, you know, because that's what they're studying. They're studying earlier people and how they farmed and lived and built buildings and built constructions and so on. So they're very aware of, you know, the impact of people on the environment. So they do tend to be of a sort like that. And I think they are aware of, as I say, of this time scale that they're working with.
Mick Aston is an archaeologist and co-founder of the British TV show Time Team.